Hello there and welcome to Tech Enthusiast. I'm Neil.
I'm Simon. And this week we're going to be talking about WWDC, E3 and our favourite tech posts of the week. I'm assuming you didn't watch much of WWDC, Neil.
I didn't watch any of the stream or anything like that, but I did flick through some of the headlines.
Yeah, well, for me it was definitely all about Apple Music. I know when we spoke before WWDC, I was like, I'm never going to leave Spotify.
Yeah.
All my playlists are there.
Yeah.
I think it took till about 4 minutes into the Apple Music announcement, I thought they've got me. It was absolutely just the Siri integration. For me, being able to say, play my favourite music, play a running track, it's going to be so much easier than pulling my phone out of the pocket. Yeah. I think I really just need a digital assistant with me at all times.
Well, don't we all, Simon? That's the problem, isn't it, really?
Who wants to use a touchscreen nowadays? It's so 2008.
It's very passé.
Yeah, it's all about not touching anything, making it with Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek.
They started with iPads.
Star Trek and computer in your pocket.
They eventually moved to press it, tapping their little... That's what I want. That's what I want.
Okay, so what, other than the Siri integration, what were the other things that really kind of pushed your buttons?
I suppose it was, you know, the library's massive.
Yeah.
I suppose equal to Spotify's, although they are going to have Swiftie. And we're both now a fan of Taylor Swift. It's Swiftie that swung it for me. Although, I'll tell you what I did find interesting. They haven't got any indie labels to agree. Yeah, and we're 2 weeks away, well, less than 2 weeks away from launch.
Have they got the Beatles?
No, they're not going to get Beatles.
Oh.
No.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's always up in the air into the Beatles. It took a long time to even get to iTunes, I'm sure. That'll be an announcement for next year.
Yeah, maybe.
An additional thing. But the indie labels, the article made me giggle a little bit because it said, it's gonna destroy indie labels. Artists like Adele are going to struggle.
What?
Can we not use an artist that's perhaps slightly more independent than Adele? I think Adele will be fine. And the argument...
lost my internet connection. My apologies.
Yeah.
That's because it's my phone's plugged into the mains and we said, hey, Siri. So activated. So, yeah, apologies. My bad. I should have really turned that phone off. But they're saying that because of the 3 month free trial, the indie labels are worried that they're going to lose download sales and that 90 day period financially will make it very difficult.
I wonder how that 3 month period works for the artists and the labels, because surely
they get 0%.
They get zero. The deal was to buy into the.
Yep, the deal was 0% for that 90-day trial, but then once the trial ends, Apple agreed to I think a minimum of 1.5 percentage points above the industry standard.
Right.
Permanently.
Oh, wow.
And then in some countries, I think it even rises above that, like 73, 74%. So you've got to take that first 90 days, grit your teeth, and get through it. But what really I found interesting is a 90-day free trial.
Yeah.
The industry standard's 30 days.
I was going to say it's kind of unheard of, really, isn't it?
So they must have done a lot of research into what's the conversion.
Yeah.
Is 90 days long enough to build habit? And then once they've got you on habit, you're going to pay.
Maybe,
so it must be interesting. There must be something beyond that 30 day that it increases conversion. Otherwise, why bother going more than 30 days?
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see if their conversion rates are higher than, say, Spotify's with their 30-day free trial. Because I know they're targeting 100 million subscribers.
Well, being that it's going to be on the phone of millions and millions of people automatically... without having to download it or anything, that's going to be a big push for them, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, inertia is always difficult. You know, even installing an app manually, that takes a lot of steps. When I turn on my phone and the icon's there and I press it and I've got 90 days free, 30 million streaming apps, they've got you. And that probably is 90 days. It's probably long enough to build a habit. I know you can build a habit theoretically in 14 days, but that's assuming you're doing something every single day. And listening to music, I know it's integral to people's lives, but maybe they've figured out that over that 90 days, you'll have used it enough, the habit's got you, you're buying. Yeah. It's quite cheap anyway, we're getting done in the UK as ever. $9.99 versus $9.99.
Yeah.
But the family account, £15 for six users.
That's pretty impressive.
That is impressive. I'm signed up. I'm looking forward to the 30th. I'm already planning on creating all my running tracks through Apple Music, downloading it local, and then running with Apple Music. I was trying to run with Spotify today, and I just, the app itself doesn't work particularly well in terms of voiceover.
Yeah.
So I just can't get access to as many playlists as I would like.
Right.
And then it frustrates me. So the hope is with it being sort of native on the iPhone, I'll have access to it through voiceover and be a great service.
Yeah. Kind of increases the height on that walled garden that Apple loves so much, doesn't it?
Hey, they've got to lock you into an ecosystem otherwise. Well, you know, it's not in Apple's interest otherwise.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could say that, but Phil Spencer from Xbox, segue, was saying at E3 that, you know, what's the point in people being able to play games in one place, and that they're wanting to push for people to be able to play games in multiple spaces.
Well, in all fairness to Apple Music, is on Android.
Yeah, fair enough.
So it's got the iPhone, it's got Android, it'll have desktop through iTunes, which then gives them Windows.
Yeah.
So they're covering a lot of the market there, and they had to go Android. Just the install base on Android
is a lot of phones.
I think it's up to 1 billion now.
Yeah,
which is a lot of phones. Obviously, I don't think 1 billion people are going to pay for Apple Music. But
no.
Well, if they did, what are you looking at? Yeah, that's a lot of money, because it's only with 100 million projected subscribers at £10 a pop. You're looking at 1.2 billion. With their 30% cut, you're already looking at what? 350 million roughly.
Yeah.
Revenue, it's not bad.
Is it just a pay tier? Is there a free tier?
No free tier. Beats One, the music station. The radio station, I believe, is going to be free.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested in that, because it would be great to hear Zayn again.
Because
for Zayn to leave Radio One to go to Apple,
yeah,
it should be really interesting. I like the remit as well. I want to play great music.
Yeah.
So when you're not forced to play a particular playlist or suggest you should play this because of a sponsor.
Yeah.
I'm just really interested in hearing that playlist. What's a radio station where you can play great music?
Yeah.
Gonna sound like? That's never.
Yeah, it's existed. Gonna be pretty. Well, you'd hope it'd be pretty diverse, because there's so many different musical tastes to cater to.
I'd believe so with Zayn.
Yeah, oh, definitely. He's very eclectic anyway. But yeah, I think it's gonna suffer the problem if it is really eclectic of when you tune in. What's going to be playing? Is that your cup of tea? I guess when you've got scheduled radio shows, you kind of know what you get into a certain extent.
I would imagine it's going to be cut down into shows.
Yeah.
It'd be great if you could time shift it, because I would like to listen to my favourite DJs.
Yeah.
It's got to be time shifted, you'd think. We'll see in on the 30th. It's not far away now.
No.
We'll get a good play. So back to Microsoft.
Yeah.
What were your favourite announcements from E3?
E3 in general. I mean, I've got an Xbox One, and as a result, I was more interested in the Microsoft press conference than any of the others. But some of the really interesting things to come out of the Microsoft One was the backwards compatibility to Xbox 360 games.
That is impressive.
Yeah. It's literally running an emulator on your Xbox One.
You can't believe the Xbox One's powerful enough to emulate the 360.
Yeah, it does seem incredible. Crazy. And the way they've done it as well is that literally your Xbox One will be fooled into thinking that it's an Xbox 360, or the game will be fooled into thinking that it is an Xbox 360 that it's running on, which means that all of the online gaming and all of the services will work perfectly, including achievements. Achievements will just continue on as they were. So if you've part played a game on a 360, then bought an Xbox One, you'll just continue earning the achievements from where you left off.
So is this all Xbox 360 games, or...?
It's launching with 100 titles, and there's no word on what those are yet. But anybody who's in the Xbox One preview program at the moment has got that already. So there are people already playing it and uploading screenshots, which is pretty cool, and saying, you know, this is awesome and it works really well. But from the other side of things as well, it works the Xbox One still knows that it's an Xbox One, so you can still do video capture and screenshots and things like that.
Wow, that's impressive. Them.
So yeah, you've got the best of both.
So now you can actually do gameplay from 360 without having to set up some janky video recording.
Yeah, which it just seems really cool. And being somebody who left Xbox 360 and got an Xbox One, there are games that I bought for that platform that I never played, or bought games that I bought and only part played. So it's going to be really interesting. Again, because obviously I'm presuming there's going to be some kind of marketplace for those games.
Yeah.
So if you didn't play them, you can buy them. But any games that you previously owned, they're just yours. You don't have to pay for them again.
So you can just re-download it from Microsoft Service.
Yeah, just re-download it and play it, which seems awesome.
I was impressed by the Elite Pad.
Yeah.
Customizable pad.
Pricey though. £150.
£150? Yeah. Oh, well, of course, dollar to. Yeah.
Again, we get screwed. But yeah, £150. And yeah, obviously, it's for people who are hardcore kind of FPS players by the looks. But yeah, and the fact that it's got parts that come off and on, you can like take them off.
User serviceable parts.
Yeah. And button mapping as well, so you can literally set it up however you want for the game you're playing.
It's interesting that a company is willing to release such a product.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have ever thought that product would exist.
Not from a first party, no.
Even a third party. A third party is going to struggle to make something of that quality.
Yeah, true.
Keep the marketplace going. Keep the parts replaceable for the life of the console.
Definitely.
So I don't think they'd ever risk making that.
No, but yeah, it does. They some of the announcements seemed really big. I mean, obviously there was a demo of HoloLens with Minecraft, which I can't remember the last time I watched something like that that sent shivers down my spine. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Literally, if anybody's not seen the video, you literally transferred the. He was playing in a window on HoloLens. And they transferred that to a tabletop, and you saw the tabletop sort of fill in with imaginary ground, and then that all crumbled away. And underneath, you were looking into the table, and there was the world there, and then all of a sudden the world just kind of raised up to be at tabletop level. It was insane. And
obviously, the future's here.
The future is here, yeah. But the guy was, they rigged up a camera that could display this stuff, so it looked really, really cool. But the guy who was wearing the HoloLens and interacting with the Minecraft game, he was walking behind it, and it was blocking him out from view. It was just, it looked fantastic, and it really did.
So this is how all our kids are going to be playing video games?
Yeah.
Who needs a TV?
Exactly, yeah. When you can just project a TV on the wall through your visor, it just...
I always imagined Toy Story 10 would be Buzz and Woody running around your actual living room and being able to interact with the objects in your space.
Yeah. Well, it's Jaws 19, isn't it, from Back to the Future?
Well, we are in that year.
Yeah.
We're still not up to Jaws 15 yet. I was impressed at, perhaps less impressed is not the right word, but Sony doing the Shenmue 3.
Yeah, it was a weird one because...
It's weird because I don't think it's going to sell.
Well, the Kickstarter's gone gangbusters. It went, within the first 3 minutes, they got 300,000.
I know, but 300,000 backers, that's
not $300,000.
Right, so think how many backers that is, though. That's not a lot of games.
No.
That's not a lot of versions of the game. And the game was a cult classic.
True.
I collected multiple versions of it and sold them for profit.
Yeah.
If it was a super popular game,
that
game would not have been valuable, which means it had a cult following.
Yeah, definitely.
And now we're in a world where it's going up against GTA V.
Yeah, but indie games are a bigger thing now, and it's a smaller game. It's only a $30 game, so what that translates to in pounds, who knows.
£30. I was actually talking to Damien about it.
Oh, right.
And it was saying everyone in the development studio is a bit, we don't think it's going to sell. We can't believe there's money in it. But then we were saying, wouldn't it be great if it was an MMO?
Yeah.
Using a lot of the Shenmue original gameplay styles, and people had to hold down jobs.
Yeah.
So when I went into a shop, it was actually
another
player working in the shop.
Yeah.
Or they're working jobs, which were creating the products in the game that are being sold. I know in MMOs you can sit and you can craft something in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But if it's actually, you've got to turn up and you take your place within that world.
Yeah.
But everyone's going to want to adventure is the problem.
That is the problem.
You're not going to want to be the guy that
Yeah, I'll be the street
there.
Sweeper.
Yeah, boy, yeah. I'm going to work at this restaurant. Yes. It's good life, it's good life.
Bussing tables, minimum wage.
Yeah. So the idea is great, whether people would actually do it.
I really don't know anything about the game, never played any of them, didn't really...
It just weirdly made something pop in my head then. I went to a dinner a few months ago and I was talking to this guy and he was the CEO of this company that was making this world where when you interact with it, you know, let's say you smash something up, it stayed smashed forever.
Right.
And then you could come back, you know, and harness the parts or whatever. So it was a constant real estate world. I was like, that's never going to work. Is what I'm thinking in my head. And then the other month, turns out, yeah, this video game's using his engine now.
Yeah.
But I walked out of that dinner thinking, no. Yeah,
but there was the, from Sony, there's the Shenmue thing, which was a bit weird because it's like, hey, this isn't us, we're not doing this and we're not really got anything to do with it, but here's a Kickstarter launch video and it just seemed a bit...
Yeah, by the way, we're funding it. Shh, don't tell anyone, to be honest, don't.
Gee, it just seemed a bit weird and disjointed. And the other, there was a lot of fan service, because they also announced The Last Guardian.
Yeah.
Which is a game
that's been developed for what? Over a decade?
Exactly.
Well, around a decade anyway.
And do you know what? They showed some gameplay from it and it looked weird. I don't want to say shit. But it looked weird. I didn't quite understand what it was all about. It wasn't my cup of tea.
What's this game that's got like the wrist pit? Is it called a pit control or something? Because I don't really follow those games, and it's like a big blocky thing, and if you get the limited edition of it...
Oh, Fallout 4.
Fallout 4.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I've not played the Fallout games, to be honest.
I haven't played any of the Fallouts beyond when I stopped gaming.
Yeah, the RPGs, very, very popular. But yeah, it's the kind of game that I'd like to play, but really haven't got the time to. But yeah, and what else was the fan service-wise from... Sony, I'm sure there was another big one, but it's slipping my mind right now. But Nintendo did similar fan service. It was, you know, Metroid Prime, Zelda game.
Zelda been coming out till next year, though, is it?
Well, which one? Because there was two Zelda games announced.
Okay, one of them's coming out next year.
Yeah, one was a 3DS game.
Yeah,
which I didn't like the look of.
Mario Maker,
yeah. And it just seemed to be like, here's a bunch of stuff that you've seen before, nothing new.
Yeah, I think Microsoft pretty much stole the show, really.
I think so. Oh, I've remembered what the other Sony one, it was the Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah, and that coming on iPhone as well.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm sure Square Enix are doing stuff there.
Yeah, it might be a companion app or a Final Fantasy VII-ish game, but the actual...
Hey, I'll tell you what, something tells me the iPhone 6S can probably run a PlayStation level game.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they are redoing it completely by the sounds of it. But yeah, there was some interesting stuff. I liked what Microsoft had, the Rare 30th anniversary.
Oh, all 30 games.
30 games dating back to 1983, some ZX Spectrum games.
Oh, God, yeah. And I think Banjo-Kazooie was on there.
Banjo-Kazooie was on there, yeah.
Oh, Perfect Dark.
Battletoads.
some great games from Rare.
Yeah.
Rare was a UK studio, was it?
Yeah, a UK studio, yeah, still is. And they announced essentially what looks like an MMO. They didn't call it an MMO. They were calling it the most ambitious game they've ever done. A shared world game, they called it, which was pirate-based.
Hang on, does this use that engine I was just talking about?
I do not know. Not entirely certain. They didn't really go into many details.
Is it one where you can wreck things and then you go and steal other people's ships and use their parts?
Again, it really didn't show that much. It was just like a short video.
It could be using the engine because this guy was going to use his engine for video games.
Yeah.
And doing massive simulations of cities so people could do planning. When I met him, he seemed very skittish about what he was actually going to do with his company.
Yeah.
It just got a lot of incredibly intelligent PhD guys together.
Yeah.
and made a crazy engine.
There was one big game that, again, is quite widely anticipated, No Man's Sky, which is just a massive universe, literally like loads of procedurally generated planets. They're saying that some planets will probably never be visited. There's that many of them.
That's just setting someone a challenge.
Yeah. But in that, the demo they gave of that, because you could literally zoom around in your spaceship and then go and land on a planet and just jump out of your spaceship and start wandering around on the planet, and there was no loading.
Yeah, but I want to interact with other people.
Oh, yeah, there's that as well.
I know, but if there's that many planets...
True.
Is that, does that mean everyone... Because remember when we used to play Star Wars...
Galaxies. Yeah.
And it was like that on that game.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few cities that people congregated at, and it was generally the cities that were featured in the films.
Yeah.
And everyone would just hang out there. You'd go somewhere else, and it was you.
Pretty dead, yeah.
Yeah, and...
Unless there was a mission or a quest or something.
So it was great to explore this massive world, but at the same time, it got lonely, and the housing system never worked particularly well on that.
No, it didn't. It was a bizarre... It was a good idea to introduce a housing system, but it just didn't seem to... Literally, you could just find a bit of wasteland and build a house.
Yeah, that was one of my favourite things about Ultra Online, the housing system. It was nice to own a house, and I remember Andy used to spend ages decorating the house. I'd log in, he'd bought a new table and chairs and some carpet.
Does he play Animal Crossing now?
Do you know what? Yeah. It's home designer, isn't it? I sent that to Sean. I said, hey, look, you can do home designer.
but on No Man's Sky, it was destructible kind of environment all around you. And it looked like it was procedurally generating animals as well. There was weird animals that were like a cross between a rhino and something else, and really bizarre looking creatures around. But there was like a big rock, and he was just shooting lumps out of it. And it was like, it's all destructible. You can do what you want.
This does sound like that engine.
Yeah, it could well
be. I really need to look up what it was called. Because he invited me to a studio.
Yeah.
So we can probably go down to a studio and...
Oh, that'd be cool.
Go, let's prod this. Yeah, because I think when I met him, it was on about training to run. What marathon was he going to train to run? And I've got his email, so I'll shoot him an email, see if it is his engine. But yeah, we're cool to visit the studio and...
Yeah, that would be cool.
See what's going on. So, any other tech news you're interested in this week, Neil? Favourite post of the week?
It's a tricky one. My week has mainly been E3 news and just watching what's been going on. But no, nothing else is coming to mind. You've got a piece though, haven't you?
Yeah, for me it was Toshiba adding the Cortana button to the keyboard. Because adding a new key to a keyboard just seems a huge step. You know, we're all so used to the Windows key now, but I can remember the Windows key being introduced.
Yeah.
And it was around Windows 95. You mean to press this button and it opens the start menu? That's incredible.
Yeah.
And you used to use that key all the time. And digital assistant, there's a lot of things you do on your computer where, for example, you know, adding an event to your calendar.
Yeah.
There's a lot of clicks.
Yeah.
Definitely. To add an event, you know, set your date, your time, who's going to be there, Whereas if you can just press that Cortana button, make an event, June the 30th, 10 o'clock, do this.
Yeah.
Job done. So I think it's definitely going to start changing the way we interact with our desktop computers, because the way we interact with our phones is already beginning to change, especially wearables, Apple Watch, moving that forward a little bit. Because now, I don't think I've entered a calendar event on my phone manually.
Yeah.
In 2-3 years. I can remember that night when me and you and Neil sat try to figure out the way we could do invitees through voice. And it's definitely the future, the way to interact. And I think that button is really beginning to highlight we're moving forward. But arguably, that button's probably going to become redundant very quickly.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't it just listen to me all the time?
Well, yeah.
So, perhaps now I'm thinking about it a little bit more. Is that button...
Necessary.
But I suppose then there's that privacy security thing.
Yeah, people don't really...
You've got the control with the button.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's listening all the time, God knows what will. Great demonstration 10 minutes ago when we mentioned Siri.
Yeah.
Plugged into the mains and voice activated.
Yeah.
I suppose you can accidentally say the sentence and trigger it. Because I was using VoiceOver the other day to read something out to me. And in the piece of text was... Hey, Siri.
Right.
So it activated Siri. I was like, no, I'm trying to read an article. What's going on there?
Yeah. Do you think that for any of this stuff, any of the voice activation stuff to kind of really take hold, it needs to be more natural language?
Well, Hound's getting there.
Yeah.
But I think the problem with Hound is, who's going to buy him?
Yeah.
That needs to be an acquisition. And I can't imagine anyone doing an acquisition and integrating Hound into their system.
Yeah.
Would Apple buy Hound?
They might buy them it? Just to shut them down, is one thing Apple have done in the past.
But then with Satya Nadella in charge of Microsoft, now he seems quite open.
Yeah.
So maybe Hound could be an acquisition.
Yeah.
And use it. Whereas I can't imagine Google moving away and using Hound.
No.
Because their system, to be honest, is pretty good. It is impressive.
Yeah, Google's is really good.
Not as impressive as Hound. So I suppose Apple could do massive catch-up with an acquisition. Because I just think on their own, again, it's coming back to that, I've got to load a specific app to be able to use it.
Yeah.
Arguably on the desktop you wouldn't. You could have it just running in the background all the time. Whereas on my phone, I don't think I want to open a separate app. I want to just pick up my phone, talk to it, and it happens.
Yeah.
Possible on Android, perhaps?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, do a custom launcher, but then they need to do a custom launcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, natural language definitely needs to get better. Hound is getting there. But what we need to remember is, I can remember voice control being amazed when it'd be like one word.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah.
But even then you go on. On. On.
Yeah.
On.
I remember the first time I used Google Now and watching the text right out in front of me, and like words pop up and then it kind of go, nope, that's the wrong word in this context, and switch the word. And just it happening in almost real time, it just blew my mind.
Have you seen the way that you can edit words now if it's the wrong word?
Yes.
Where you press it and then you'll be...
Yeah.
Because I'd like Apple to move towards with VoiceOver. If then I can swipe up and it flicks through the words and I just repeat the word and it overwrites it.
Yeah.
That for me would have been a very easy way to write and to send text. Although nowadays WhatsApp audio message anyway. But some people don't have WhatsApp.
Mm. God. What year is this?
I know, God. Well, we weren't even fans of it a year ago, were we? Then we bought into it big. They don't even my mum and sister use it now.
Wow. My mum and sister don't. But it was kind of a... Maybe it's because we're getting old, I don't know. Well, but I was like, what do these youngins see in this WhatsApp thing?
My mum installed it. I showed her how to do a voice message. And then she sent me a voice message and it sounded like she was at mile 21 of a marathon. She was walking apparently to the car or something. She sounded so out of breath. I was like, what were you doing in that message for? I should probably dig it out and play it because it's a very funny message.
Cool.
Yeah, we're getting there. Voice is the future. Control, you know, the Apple Watch and wearables.
Yeah.
We need to interact. They're too small to type. Voice is the future. We will all have those Star Trek...
Star Trek communicators.
Before we know it.
Do you have to pick your design?
I'll have mine look like the Star Trek icon, thank you.
Purist.
Yeah, don't want to move way too far away. But in the original.
Cool. Well, I think that should do us for today.
Great first show. I think we covered a few topics there. Looking forward to show two, where we're a bit more organised and we'll get some intro music.
No way.
Seriously. We'll try and plinky plonk something on GarageBand, so that could be...
Interesting.
Something to look forward to.
All right, well, thanks for listening. Again, I'm Neil.
I'm Simon.
You've been listening to Tech Enthusiast.